It's not necessarily a single incident so much as the fact that the Privacy Act was written in 1974, at a time when most of the information that the Privacy Act was addressing actually existed in file cabinets, within folders that people pulled in and out. It was a post-Watergate statute that was created to ensure that the government didn't do things in secret. And the Privacy Act has stood the test of time in terms of its underlying principles, but its operational details have not really kept pace with technology in any meaningful way. It's been adapted once in 1988 to address things like computer matching, which is the process of matching large mainframe databases or other types of databases one-on-one. But in the Internet era we live in today, where there are many new technologies that affect how the government handles information about individuals, such as data mining use of commercial databases, the Privacy Act has a lot of gaps in its coverage. And so those principles that are very important, things like providing notice to people about what the government's doing with their information and allowing people access to information about them, don't necessarily apply to the to large parts of what the government's doing.
Yes, and there's also initiative, I think, coming out of OMB, working with several agencies. We talked about this last week on the show, and that is to allow persistent cookies to be placed on people's website, on their computers, rather, by government websites. And this has always been a proscription, but a lot of people in the government feel that in order to really benefit citizens from all of the web can do and to increase the power of what the government can offer online, the government agencies need the permission to have persistent cookies. Is this the kind of thing that might be addressed in the Privacy Act?
Yes. In fact, the rule right now about persistent cookies isn't that there's a ban. It's that the agency head or a delegatee to the agency has to approve the use of persistent cookies. And so by that, we mean cookies that are kept on somebody's computer over time and in terms of tracking their movements across websites, as opposed to session cookies, which are placed on the computer in a single session that somebody is involved in to increase their user experience, which have always been allowed. The persistent cookie issue is one that, in terms of personalization of a web experience, is commonly done by sites like Amazon or eBay or other types of e-commerce sites that people typically go to now. And the government has not been able to keep pace because of the bureaucracy involved in choosing the use of the persistent cookie. So the government can't quite operate at web speed because of these approvals that have to be brought on. The board took a look at this, the Information Security and Privacy Advisory Board, which issued the study that you referred to earlier, and suggested that an opt-in feature would be useful for persistent cookies by the federal government. In other words, if somebody wanted to allow the government to do that, to increase their ability to work with government websites on the web, they would be able to opt in. In the commercial space, it tends to be more of an opt-out approach where the person has to say, I don't want the cookie laid on my website. So the board recognizes that the government has a special responsibility to protect individuals' information, but thinks that an opt-in approach can allow the choice to the individual and achieve both goals.
We're talking with Dan Chenock. He's Senior Vice President of Pragmatics, and also he is the chair of the Security and Privacy Advisory Board. And I saw you last week in the East Room there listening to President Obama's new cybersecurity announcement. And often security and privacy get referred to in the same sentence. So do you think that the new coordinator that the president will be announcing, we don't know who it is yet, will be involved in the whole privacy debate as that unfolds as well?
Oh, most definitely. In fact, the president made a specific reference to the fact that there would be a protection of privacy and civil liberties in the manner in which the government conducts its cybersecurity activities. It was a remarkable event in that the president made a major speech on cybersecurity in the East Room to government, industry, academia, press, members of his cabinet. And as part of that announcement, talked again about the fact that there would be an individual at a senior level working in the cybersecurity advisor's office whose responsibility would be to protect privacy and civil liberties. So I think that the president recognizes that they are twin goals and both very important.
So you used to be branch chief for information policy and technology in OMB. We should have said that earlier. This must seem like a whole new world to you now, from when you left government and the intervening years.
Well, it's really an evolution, spurred by some specific actions. If you look back at the last 20 years and you think back to some of the experimentation that went on in terms of personalization and the use of the internet, you had the National Partnership for Reinventing Government, which enabled citizens to come in and engage in specific types of transactional activities. Then you had the advent of FirstGov, the first U.S. government portal, where people could come on and really search both individualized and any other type of information on the web. Then in the last administration, you had the e-government initiatives, which really were about creating a government that was centered around individuals. And now, of course, this administration is taking it to a much greater level in terms of its ability to provide for transparency and participation and collaboration in its internet activities. And it's gone so far as to create a new media office in the White House, which is an unprecedented move, as well as create a chief technology officer and a federal chief information officer. And in full disclosure, of course, I was on the Obama transition team, and so I'm very supportive of the actions of this administration.